If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.com. If you love America, you're among friends here.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The Committee for a Responsible Budget says it approves of President Obama's proposal to reform the method by which Social Security benefits are calculated. The proposal, which will be included in Obama's 2014 budget that he'll release on Wednesday, was blasted last week by several liberals who want the president to leave Social Security alone. But the group said today that the president is right to make such an offer in light of the fact that the country's Social Security trust fund will be exhausted by 2033. The group's board includes Obama's 2010 Debt Task Force co-chairs, former Clinton Chief of Staff Erskine Bowles, and former Republican Senator Alan Simpson. The Bureau of Economic Analysis announced today that the U.S.'s trade deficit grew by $43 billion in February. Chinese imports were about half of the reason why. The deficit, however, actually improved from January, when imports outpaced exports by $44.5 billion. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hello there. Good evening. Welcome aboard. This is ConservativeNationRadio.org. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. 718-305-7176 is the phone number. Thanks very much for being along this evening. Glad you could make it. We're going to be talking about a couple of interesting things tonight. One of them will be the Korean War. Not the one that happened between 1950 and 1953. I'm talking about the one that seems to be getting underway right now. 718-305-7176 if you want to chime in. Beyond that, a woman of tremendous inspiration, a woman of amazing talent, a woman whose name will echo down through the ages, passed away today. I've always been a huge Annette Funicello fan. I never missed the Mickey Mouse Club. I saw every movie that she was in with Frankie Avalon, and I'm just devastated. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, he's going to talk about Margaret Thatcher. Actually, I'm very sorry that Annette Funicello died, but I'm kind of heartbroken that Margaret Thatcher died. She was one of my heroes. If you're a conservative, then you need to probably feel the same way, and I hope that you do. Margaret Thatcher, I don't know if anyone has seen that movie that a bunch of Hollywood liberals put out several years ago that was called The Iron Lady a couple of years ago. Meryl Streep was in it. Meryl Streep is a very, very good actress. There's absolutely no question about it. Margaret Thatcher is a person who is despised by the left in this country, in the UK, also throughout the world, because Margaret Thatcher stood for the idea that the individual must come before the state. Apparently, she was once quoted as saying, "Society, there is no such thing as society." And I understand where she's coming from with that. Listen, I'm a conservative. I do not believe in collectivism. I just don't believe in it. I don't believe in the idea that just because I would like to have some of the things that my neighbor has, that therefore I have a right to those things. I don't. I believe that economic rights cannot exist. There are a lot of people that think that they do. I don't think that they can. The reason I don't think that they can is this. If you have the right to food, the right to medical care, the right to a house. That means somewhere in the society, and there's no way around this, there is someone in the society who does not have the right to not be a farmer, not be a physician, or to not be a carpenter. If I want to make sure you understand this. If you don't understand this, let's discuss it. 718-305-7176. If you are entitled to shelter, if that is a basic human right, someone must build that shelter. There's no way around it. It sounds wonderful. We're all entitled to a place to live. You need a place to live, as Mary Jo once said to me in college. Yeah, that's right, you do, but how you get it is up to you. You have to do it lawfully. You can't simply show up at somebody else's structure and say, I need a place to live, therefore I am entitled to a place to live, therefore I have the right to a place to live, therefore this is now my place to live. It doesn't work that way. Private property is private property. It must come first. There can be no economic growth. There can be no freedom. There can be no structure. There can be nothing unless there is private property. The Constitution ultimately doesn't matter without it. Nothing matters unless there is private property. If you are entitled to own and keep your private property, you must respect other people's right to own and keep their private property. Government does not respect that right. If you live anywhere near a body of water, or in some cases that have been very well documented, if you live anywhere near a pond or a puddle, especially in states like Maryland and Delaware, and you want to cut down a tree on your property, you're not allowed to do so unless you have the government's permission. That's not private property. It's just not. If it's your property, you do with it as you wish. That's something that Margaret Thatcher understood. 718-305-7176 is the number. 8 minutes after the top of the hour, Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America. And, you know, if you pay any attention at all to Facebook or Twitter or CNR.org or Trata or any of those things, you know that on the second Monday of every month, Radio Free America airs at 9, not at 7. And that is because there is, I am a person on the Sussex County, Delaware Republican Committee. I'm the communication director. I'm also an election district committee person. That's an elected position. I'm also a delegate to the state convention, which takes place in about 2 weeks, the 26th and 27th of April. I may have to go to something like 3 Monday nights a month. Because from now on, my responsibilities at the Sussex County Republican Committee are going to be growing exponentially, and I will have to stay at some of those meetings the second Monday of each month until 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. My girlfriend Linda, with whom I live, who is the secretary of the committee, she is still there. She's still at the meeting, and it's 9 minutes after 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time. This is what it's going to be for me from now on. However, as they say, more will be revealed. Just stay tuned to Facebook and Twitter and conservativenationradio.org, and all of that information will come to you in due course. As Ambassador Zorin apparently once said to Adlai Stevenson at the UN, I do mourn the passing of Margaret Thatcher. She was a brilliant individual. I believe that she will possibly one day, and I'm hoping one day, will be well remembered for her famous phrase, which is, the problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money. And that is exactly correct. Eventually, the other people are tired of forking over their earnings, their property, their cash, their assets, their resources to support strangers. That's all. Socialism cannot work. If you have a small society, very, very homogenous one, take Sweden, for example. In Sweden, everybody pays what is known as the 30% communal tax. Communal, because they all live communally. Wow. I've got a couple of friends who are from Sweden, and they're great people. They are, however, the Swedes are a race. They are more than a nationality. They are sort of the ultimate Scandinavians, and they have lived in that part of the world for a very, I mean, the Vikings were Swedes and Norwegians and all that sort of thing. They have lived up there for a very long time. They can do things the way they want to. That is not the way we want to do things here in this country. At least it's not the way the conservative patriots want to do things in this country. It is 12 minutes after the hour. You know, we're on the air 6 days a week here at conservativenationradio.org. And I want to invite you to join former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee for his program, The Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch. It's Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. You've probably seen Carl on Fox and Friends. He's a well-known author of Battle on the Home Front and an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. Liberals can't stand him, primarily because he loves his country and also because he's right. And that in and of itself means that he fits right in here, right? Hey. So anyway, listen to The Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler. It is Thursdays at 7 p.m., 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org, Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives. We are just about 13 minutes after the top of the hour. Duke Brooks here, 718-305-7176. We've been talking a little bit about Margaret Thatcher. I absolutely loved that woman. The left in England, of course, despises her. The left, they hated the fact that she defended the Falkland Islands. They wanted the, listen, the left, no matter who they are or where they are, the left wants their country to lose. The left in Italy wants Italy to lose. The left in Cyprus wants Cyprus to be weak. Cyprus is weak, but they want it to be weaker. The left in America wants America to lose. That's why they're the left. You can always tell whether a purported or proposed or planned or contingency military operation is in the interests of our country or whether it is not. If the left is opposed to it, it is in the interests of America. If the left is in favor of it, at the very best, it is neither, it is neutral. Okay, the left had no problem going into places like Bosnia and Somalia. That was under Bill Clinton. He just couldn't do anything wrong. He just couldn't. And the fact of the matter is, hey, listen, liberals hate America. I mean, seriously, obviously they hate America because they don't want any part of America to be successful. There's not much question about it. They want to weaken our currency. They want to weaken our families. They want to weaken our institutions. They want to erase our borders. They want to destroy our culture. They want to destroy our traditions. They want to destroy our language. The left is our enemy. I mean, there is no question about that. There really can't be. It's about 15 minutes after the top of the hour. Going to take a brief break. More ramblings, more of your calls, more Radio Free America. Don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around. Nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
All righty, welcome back. This is Radio Free America. This is ConservativeNationRadio.org, Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives. Duke Brooks is my name. 718-305-7176 is my number. Thanks a lot for being along. You can mosey on over to the chat room. A couple of folks are in there. I suspect there might be one from King of Prussia. I don't know. But welcome aboard. Give me a shout, and let's chat about various things. We have been talking a little bit about Margaret Thatcher. I absolutely adored that lady, and like most English people, however, unfortunately, horrible teeth. Oh, my God, what terrible, terrible. I don't know what the deal is over there, but it seems to me that the vast majority of English people, I don't know why, they are wonderful, other than their propensity to experiment with socialism. which is a loser. You know, I've always viewed socialism, communism, Marxism, Leninism, all that kind of Mao, all that sort of stuff, Castro. It's kind of like, you know, you see an absolutely gorgeous streetwalker, you know, or hooker or escort or whatever you want to call them, and you just can't wait to get with that woman. And then after you have, you realize that you have picked up a really, really, really bad disease, and you can't get rid of the disease. That's what it's like. It looks really great on the outside. It does not look great at all afterwards, after the fact. You know, there is a great Monty Python routine sort of about that, I think. But in any event, Margaret Thatcher understood, you know, basically, here's the way I look at it. The vast majority of human beings are lazy. The vast majority of humans in all through history are lazy. Why do I think that? Looking at some of the accomplishments of the human race, everything from the construction of the pyramids to what I think is the greatest accomplishment in human history, which is landing a man on the moon, which was done by us, by the way. Every single technological invention in human history is a labor-saving device, beginning with the lever. Some, you know, humanoid 30 or 40,000 years ago, 80,000 years ago, whenever it was, first realized that a lever could be used as a tool, and you could multiply your own capabilities simply by using the lever. That is when the kind of permanent laziness of the human race sort of set in anyway. You know, that's the way I look at it anyway. If you disagree or if you agree, 718-305-7176 is the number. And once people are told government will take care of you, or even if they're told a private charity will take care of you, or your church will take care of you, that is the end of people doing things for themselves. That's it. It doesn't happen after that. Once it is simply human nature. There is no way around it. Now, one will notice that in all socialist, Marxist, Leninist, Stalinist, Maoist, communist states, and at the end of the day, all of those theories and philosophies purport to do two things. One, they can kind of do. The other one, they absolutely cannot. The first thing that they purport to do is to force everyone into a condition of financial and material sameness, which they call equality. I remember a seventh grade teacher of mine whose name was Mr. Pascal, who was a good guy. And he wanted to try to explain the idea of communism and socialism to us 12 and 13-year-olds in the seventh grade by saying if one person has a color TV and the person next door has no TV, in communism and socialism, the government comes in and says everyone is going to have a black and white TV. And that was his way of explaining to us the idea that, you know, communism will produce what I think he once referred to as an egalitarian society, or a society based on the idea that no person's achievements, no person's drive, no person's good ideas, no one person's work ethic should put them in a position of of having a greater degree of assets, capabilities, and wealth than someone else. Okay, governments can actually enforce what will become universal poverty, but in order for them to do that, they have to basically make a deal with the people that they rule. And that deal is generally something like this. Look, you give up all of your political and civil rights, and we will guarantee that you never want for anything that you need. Now, implicit in that is the idea that that government will determine, not you, but that government will determine what your needs are. The government will tell you, this is how many calories per day you are entitled to. This is the kind of free medical care you are entitled to. This is the kind of dwelling you are entitled to. And since a society that purports to have figured out a way around the laws of supply and demand and figured out a way around the laws of human nature, those societies simply do not work very well. They never have. The Soviet Union turned its back on those ideas, led by Gorbachev and Yeltsin. They basically, when Gorbachev came out and said at some point, I think in 1984 or 85, he said, comrades, it is time for us to realize that our system has simply not stood the test of time. Can you imagine an American president other than somebody like Obama coming out and saying that? I mean, there are people in the U.S. government who do believe that the U.S. Constitution is hopelessly outdated and antiquated and hopelessly and flawed, and that it has so many things wrong with it. You know, my friend Kevin Wade, if you're a regular listener to Radio Free America, you know Kevin Wade. I don't have Common Sense with Kevin Wade tonight. I will next Monday night at 7 o'clock. Frankly, there just wasn't time to get it done today. I'm very happy I got the news done today from Jeff Holtzman at Talk Radio News Service, but I digress. Kevin is a guy with a tremendous amount of common sense. And my friend Kevin Wade obviously understands exactly where this country is kind of going and kind of moving. And frankly, it is very, very scary. Kevin understands that there are some common sense things that you simply there are decisions that you have to make. One of them is that if you owe $16 trillion, you do not start borrowing money to pay interest, which is basically what's happening here. In any event, Kevin last year ran for the U.S. Senate against a guy named Tom Carper. Tom Carper in Delaware has been the state treasurer, I believe the lieutenant governor, the governor, a congressman, and now a U.S. senator. And that's Tom Carper's, his name is synonymous with the state of Delaware politics. And I know Senator Carper. He was always a nice guy to me. We were always nice to him. We were our campaign. I campaigned with Kevin. I was his communication director. And we were always respectful of the senator. We never called him names. We never personally attacked him. We were always delighted to attack him on the issues. And attacking somebody on the issues and attacking them on their voting record as an elected legislator or as an executive, an elected executive like governor or lieutenant governor, that is absolutely fair game. The personal stuff, that's right out. Okay, that's all there is to it. But in any event, The guy that beat Christine O'Donnell, remember her? Remember Christine O'Donnell, who ran in 2010? If you have not, if you don't remember Christine O'Donnell, maybe I should put her picture up on my website. Maybe I should do something like that. In any event, it is 30 minutes after the hour. We are going to take a brief break. More of your calls are coming up. Incidentally, you're probably aware that conservativenationradio.org, that's us, we are proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is in the whole world, and that one is LifeLock. Now, LifeLock is much more than your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 a year. There really, frankly, I know this to be true, there is nothing that even comes close to LifeLock. So, to protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's www.conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner and let your identity be protected. More of your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah. Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Alrighty. Duke Brooks here. It is 33 minutes now after the hour. Thank you very much for that. That's 27 minutes before the top of the next hour. You know, it took me about 11 years to memorize 33 after is 27 before and all that stuff. Listen, when it comes to math, I got to be honest with you. I'm not there. I'm just not, okay? I mean, I didn't realize until I was about 30 years old that 1 plus 1 does not equal 11. I thought 1 plus 1 equaled 11. Makes sense to me. Of course, in my mind, 11 and 2 and 86 and 99 and 3.1415926, 10.023 times 10 to the, all those things are the same. They all have the same value. They all have the same weight. They are all numbers, and therefore they are all meaningless in my mind. Words, concepts, ideas, sentences, language, that's different. I take a backseat to no one when it comes to those things, but I digress. 718-305-7176. Christine O'Donnell is this girl, although she's a woman, obviously. I think she's probably like 40 or 41 or something. Christine is a very bright, hardworking individual, a conservative Republican who believes in traditional American values. She believes in the United States Constitution, the amendments thereto, and she ran for the U.S. Senate in Delaware in 2010. Now, here's what happened. I know that some of this is kind of inside baseball. Incidentally, speaking of baseball, the Orioles are now, I think they are 3-4 at this point. I mean, they lost today to the Boston Red Sox. That doesn't necessarily worry me because when the leaves turn brown, the Sox fall down. But I really just, I was hoping that the Birds would remain above 500 at least until the All-Star break. After that is traditionally when they run out of steam, except Buck Showalter last year and the year before, he did a much better job, but I digress. In any event, Christine ran against, in the primary election, against a guy named Mike Castle, who had been Delaware's congressman, I think since Caesar Rodney was five. Before that, he had been the governor of Delaware. I think he was governor of Delaware when William Penn arrived and established Pennsylvania and what became Delaware as colonies in the 1670s, I think. It must have been around 1681, sometime around there. I know that William Penn founded my high school in Philadelphia in 1689. So he was here for 6 or 8 years before that, but I digress again. In any event, Mike Castle is a guy that could charitably be referred to as a rhino, a Republican in name only, and by that I mean he is a member of the Republican Party. As a lawyer and as a politician, he became very, very wealthy. Why a politician should get rich in office is beyond me. Tom Carper, who I mentioned, U.S. Senator, very nice guy, U.S. Navy veteran. He retired as a captain in the U.S. Navy, remained in the Navy Reserves. A good guy, you know, a liberal, but he's not a jerk or anything. But he's now worth $7 million. How do you get there living on a low six-figure salary as a lifelong perpetual government employee? I don't know how you do that. Well, actually, I do know how you do that. Let's put it this way. If you and I did the kind of thing that he does, we'd go to jail. Congressmen and senators can trade on insider information. People that are not congressmen and are not senators cannot. It's that simple. If you are a congressman and you're sitting on a committee and you are considering new legislation that is going to make the manufacture of third-dimensional Type B widgets a federal offense, what you're going to do as soon as that gets out of committee is you are going to buy what are known as puts on the stock market. A put is essentially a bet that the value of a particular stock is going to go down. A call is essentially a bet that the value of a particular stock is going to go up. And if you have come up with legislation that your committee has approved, that your caucus in the House of Representatives is going to definitely bring to the floor for a vote, your leadership has said, yeah, this is going to pass. The conference committee says that the Senate is working on the same thing to make third-dimensional Type B widgets, the manufacture thereof, a federal crime. You can go and you can make money by buying puts in every company that makes third dimensional type B widgets in the country. All right. And those people, you know, one day the president is going to sign that bill that you recommended, and all the third dimensional type B widget manufacturers in the country are going to go right out of business because you made them go out of business. Your legislation has made them go out of business. So the value of their stock is going to decline. And if you know that's going to happen up front, if you're a congressman or a senator, you can go to your broker and you can say, I want you to buy puts on every company in the country that is a third dimensional type B widget manufacturer. And when your bill goes through conference, and when it is then presented to the president for signature and the president signs it, and 90 days later it is illegal to be a third dimensional type B widget manufacturer, and the value of all the stock in those companies goes right down through the floorboards into the basement, you bought puts on them months ago and you're going to make a fortune. If you're not a congressman and if you're not a senator and you find out from somebody that they're about to make third dimensional type B widget manufacturer a federal crime in this country, and you go out and you buy puts on those things, you're going to go to jail. Why do you think Martha Stewart went to jail? Not specifically for that. Martha Stewart went to jail because she tried to protect her stockbroker. Her stockbroker told her that the value of the stock in a particular company was about to go through the floorboards, and she sold off all of her stock in that company. Then, when the Securities and Exchange Commission came knocking on her door, she lied to them and she told them, she didn't tell them where she got the information. She herself used to have a seat on the New York Stock Exchange. I think she was once a member of the board of directors of the New York Stock Exchange. And Martha Stewart should have known better. She should have just said, my stockbroker told me. Well, they put the stockbroker in jail for passing along inside information. And they put Martha Stewart in jail for trying to conceal that from SEC and FBI investigators that came calling. Martha Stewart is still worth $900 trillion, so it doesn't matter. But I digress. In any event, that's how Tom Carper made his money. That's how Mike Castle became a millionaire. These guys that get into politics, that's where they make their money. But I'm going to tie this all together in a minute. I absolutely am. It's about 16 minutes now before the top of the hour. You know, we're going to talk about the leftist media. We do very often. And, of course, they want conservatives like us to think that we're just a couple of lonely voices out there in the wilderness. Nobody's paying attention to us. Nobody takes us seriously. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber those who identify themselves as liberals by about 2-1, according to quite a few polls, even ones taken by liberals. Now, if you respect traditional American values, there is a place that you can call home on the internet. It is traditionalamericanmovement.com, or as we at CNR.org call it, TradAm. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up, no turf wars, find out what's new in the conservative community. So listen up, join up, find out what's happening, be a part of the conservative revolution, all on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. That's www.TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. I do hope to see you there soon. TradAm, incidentally, thank goodness, is a liberal-free website. Wouldn't you love to live in a liberal free world? I know for a fact that I would. Kevin Wade was told by a senior Senate aide to Chris Coons. Chris Coons is the new freshman Democrat senator who defeated Christine O'Donnell in 2010. Listen, Christine is a great person. I'll be honest with you. She is, I would describe Christine as being profoundly attractive. Okay? I mean, frankly, she's the hottest U.S. Senate candidate of all time. There's no question about that. Now, Obama made a comment about an attorney general in California or something a couple of days ago. Then he had to apologize for calling her attractive. What is going on in this world today? What's going on? Well, you can't even make a nice comment about a good-looking lady? I don't get it. I don't get. All right, look. Going to take a brief break. When we come back, I will tell you what one of Chris Coons's senior Senate staffers told Kevin Wade he thought should happen to the First Amendment. More of your calls are coming up. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Stay right where you are.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Monday, Monday, so good to me. Monday morning.
Welcome back. It is Monday. It's got to be Monday because Radio Free America is on the air on conservativenationradio.org, right? You can set your calendar by it or something, I guess. I don't know. Duke Brooks is my name. Thanks very much for being along. I am delighted to be here, and I'm delighted to have you with me. This is conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. We started talking about Margaret Thatcher, and then, of course, I did what I always do, which is I began kind of spinning off into, the world of conservatives and patriots versus liberal traitors, and that's kind of where we are. Here is what I mean when I say liberals hate America and they hate the U.S. Constitution. This is a guy who is a senior staffer for U.S. Senator Chris Coons, who is the freshman Marxist senator from Delaware. And look, the guy's a Marxist. I mean, there isn't any question about it. And, of course, he's a member of the Democrat Party. But one of his aides, senior aide, I don't know the guy's name. I never met the guy. I never met Chris Coons. I really don't want to meet anybody that Harry Reid says, oh, he's my pet. I don't want to meet that person. I don't want to meet Harry Reid. I don't want to meet Nancy Pelosi. I don't want to meet Feinstein or Boxer or any of those other communists. I digress. He told Kevin Wade that there was a lot of talk in Washington about a law that would restrict what people can say about the government. Kevin said to him, wouldn't that run afoul of the First Amendment? And the guy said something like, well, not really, because there will only be certain things that you would not be legally entitled anymore to say about the government. The guy's a Democrat. The guy's a Democrat. He is a liberal Democrat. This is what liberal Democrats are all about. They don't want people to have freedom. They never have, and they never will. This is why Margaret Thatcher fought against them. This is why she fought against collectivism. This is why she fought against the idea of what is being referred to today as economic justice. It's kind of in the same category as what Obama constantly advocates, which is, quote, social justice, unquote. That nonsense is in the same category as world peace, which, frankly, is just another term for let's do whatever the Soviets and the Maoists tell us to do. I don't know about you, but since I'm a conservative, I define peace as the absence of armed conflict. To the left, it is defined as the absence of resistance, because the left believes that they have an immutable and indisputable duty and obligation to lead the world to Marxism. That's what they believe. It's like the Mohammedans. The Mohammedans believe that their god, Allah, which is the moon god of Saudi Arabia, has given them a duty, an obligation, and therefore a right to lead the world to their religion. Just as an aside, I will die as a Christian before I will live one second as a Mohammedan. It's that simple. And if it comes down to that, frankly, I'm going to take a bunch of Mohammedans with me. But again, I digress. It's about 7 minutes now before the top of the hour. 718-305-7176 is the number. I will miss Margaret Thatcher. I think that what Margaret Thatcher basically did is she dramatically slowed the self-imposed decline of Britain, of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. She slowed it down by about 15 or 20 years, all told. She was prime minister from 79 to 91 or something. She was in office longer than Ronald Reagan. But, you know, Britain is not they do not have a constitution in Britain. They have a parliament. That's what they have. And, of course, they have the House of Windsor, the Royal House of Windsor. They call it a constitutional monarchy. It's really not a monarchy. You know, Her Majesty cannot go around just making up laws. It used to be that the king or the queen could simply have somebody executed, and that was it. Well, obviously it isn't that way over there anymore. I'm kind of glad it's not. 718-305-7176. If Margaret Thatcher had not been elected in 79, if she had lost, I think that by now, some 33 years later, I think that the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland would, it's entirely possible that there would be governments from other countries that would have, I mean, it wouldn't exist anymore. It really would not exist anymore. They would probably have almost no military at all. They would probably have basically no navy at all. They would have absolutely no possessions anywhere elsewhere in the world. And I think that, well, they, you know, they would have been bankrupted a decade ago. And they would have been going to other people all over the world trying to do business, but mostly trying to beg, borrow, or steal money. And, of course, I guess at the end of the day, the only thing that really matters to the politicians that promise stuff like that is that they get reelected. At, you know, the country doesn't matter to them. The only thing that does matter is that they, as individuals, get reelected. They couldn't care less what happens as long as they're the ones in charge when it does happen. As long as they get reelected, that's the only thing that matters to the vast majority of those guys. Every once in a while you meet an honest one. Of course, you know, every once in a while you meet somebody from Mars as well, I guess, like Otis Sistrunk. 718-305-7176 is the number here. Duke Brooks is my name. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. It's about 3.5 minutes now before the top of the hour. Thanks very much for being along. We're having a minor sort of crisis here in Delaware in the Republican Party, and I will fill you in during the next hour. A hint, it has to do with same-sex marriage. It has to do with a senior Republican official in the state party who is a great guy and whose name is John Fluharty and who is, I consider to be a particular friend of mine. And I'm going to fill you in on all that. But between now and the top of the hour, a little less than 3 minutes until the top of the hour, I just wanted to say that I think that Margaret Thatcher will go down in history as the person who saved Great Britain from itself. There are a lot of collectivist thinkers over there. There are a lot of socialists over there. As Prime Minister Thatcher said, the problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money. And then after that, the next thing that happens is the money is not worth anything. And after that happens, under Karl Marx and Trotsky in the Manifesto and Das Kapital, which means the money, after that, they believe that mankind and civilization will become a communal society in which the state eventually would wither away, to use Marx's terms. Marx must have been really a horse's behind. I mean, he must have been as stupid, brainless, moronic, as much of a simpleton and a numbskull, knuckleheaded idiot as has ever walked on this planet. Any human being knows that government never, ever, ever withers away. Government will hang in there, and they will stay as long as they can. They will remain, and they will stay on the payroll, and they will continue to suck the blood of the taxpayers way after they are no longer necessary. That is simply the nature of government. We could do something about it, I suppose. I would love to hear what you think can be done about it. It's about 30 seconds now until our break at the top of the hour. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America, at conservativenationradio.org, where we are real conservatism for real conservatives. Duke Brooks is my name. We've got more of your calls, more of my own philosophical ramblings, all coming up on the other side of the break. Stay where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Are you struggling with your mortgage payments? Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about your options. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here. It is just about 2 minutes after the top of the hour. Thanks very much for being along. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. During the first hour, we've been speaking about what I think is the sad passing of Margaret Thatcher. I really loved her. What I thought was really the absolute height of her tenure is when the Argentinians invaded the Falkland Islands, and her entire attitude was, those are British islands. They cannot become a part of Argentina, and she did not allow them to become part of Argentina. I knew it was basically all over when she was in a actually there were two parts of the Falklands War, two things that happened when I knew there's no way the Argentinians are going to win this, just no way. First, when British troops were embarking, and Her Majesty's government had taken over the Queen Elizabeth II, and I'm presuming that they paid Cunard for use of the QE2. They painted it in gray camouflage. Now, I'll be honest with you. I did cross the North Atlantic westbound many years ago on the QE2. And the QE2 is a wonderful, it is a fabulous experience. Boy, that was just wonderful. And about 7 years after that, when the Brits were sailing for the Falklands, this is before Fox News, CNN was only about a year or two old at that point. Falklands War, I think, was in 1982. I think it was in October of 82, and they had a shot, I guess, in either London or Portsmouth or Folkestone or wherever the British, the Marines and the British Army went to embark to head to the South Atlantic. And they had a shot of who I recognized immediately as being a Gurkha holy man, a Gurkha chaplain, Gurkha padre. And here was a shot of this guy who outside was wearing a British Army overcoat, but under that he was wearing that white kind of sort of Nehru jacket and wearing that sort of white, almost like an overseas cap hat. And he was reading from, obviously, a Gurkha or Nepalese prayer book as Her Majesty's Royal Gurkha Rifles boarded the Queen Elizabeth II. And the Gurkhas are very, very, very tough. If you are not familiar with the Gurkhas, I hope that you do not ever have to go into combat against them, because you will lose. Unless you're the SEALs or Marine Force Recon or maybe U.S. Army Airborne Ranger or something like that, you're going to lose against the Gurkhas. Those guys are tough. They come from Nepal. They live up there in the Himalayan mountains, and they have been in the British Army for a very, very long time, and these guys are tough. They are so tough that they will shoot and kill their own wounded. They'll shoot them and they'll kill them so as not to hamper the column. Okay, I'm not making this up. I know people in the British Army, and some of them have said, those guys are just absolutely in combat. They are berserk, and that's what you need. And they were sending the Gurkhas. Mrs. Thatcher sent the Gurkhas to fight the Argentinians. There was one, on one occasion, I remember Margaret Thatcher being interviewed, and she basically said, if we have to bomb Buenos Aires, that's what we will do, but the Argentinians are going to leave the Falkland Islands. That's all that there is to it. That was a very, very interesting period in American history. I remember when the late former Secretary of State Alexander Haig was engaging in what was called shuttle diplomacy, and he was going from London to Buenos Aires back and forth to try to work out some kind of a non-combat settlement to this. And the Argentinians were basically saying, look, we're just not going to leave. That's all there is to it. The president of Argentina at the time was a general whose name was Leopoldo Galtieri. And they call the Falklands the Malvinas Islands. They're the only people in the world that call it that. Everybody else calls it the Falklands. Apparently, they sold those islands to the United Kingdom at some point in the late 19th century, like in 1889 or 1893 or something. They sold, the Argentinians sold those islands to the Brits, and then a little less than 100 years later, they come back and they say, well, we've decided to take them back. The only reason they did that is because Galtieri, the country's economy under Galtieri was suffering. Economies do not do well under military dictatorships. They never have. They never will. And they invaded, and the Brits said, no, not in my house. And they came down there, and they liberated the Falklands. There was a United States naval combat heavy cruiser that was built during World War II. It was called the USS Cleveland. A whole bunch of 9-inch guns or 10 or 12-inch. I mean, it's a great-looking U.S. Navy World War II combat warship. And we sold it at the end of the war to the Argentinians, and they renamed it the General Belgrano. And at one point, a British submarine just sank it. I was sorry that that happened. You know, I mean, it was built in America. It had been an American ship, and they were still operating it 40 years after it was commissioned, and that's okay. They're allowed to do that. What they were not allowed to do, at least what Margaret Thatcher said they were not allowed to do, is they were not allowed to invade British territory. That's all there is to it. And she kicked them out. That was the end. And I think Galtieri was deposed after that. And, you know, I mean, the whole thing was just a great big, huge, giant mess. You know, what do you want? I mean, I have known some people from Argentina. And they're very nice people. They're not Mexicans. Yeah, it was a newsflash. Everybody in South America and Central America, no matter how poor they are, and everybody in those countries are poor, pretty much, they all look down their nose at the Mexicans. Everybody thinks the Mexicans are beneath them. They all do. That's just an aside. But you'll notice that in every Spanish-speaking country in the world, everyone, with no exceptions, there is intense poverty. There is a lack of democracy and civil rights, and there is widespread corruption. That is the way it is in every Spanish-speaking country. That's just the way the Spaniards do things. They're very poor, and they're very corrupt, and that's it. It is exactly the opposite in all of the English-speaking countries. Have you ever noticed this? Have you ever noticed that if you live in an English-speaking country, with one exception, you do not live in a poor country, and you do live in a free country. The only exception is Jamaica. Jamaica is an English-speaking country. It is generally politically free, but of course it is profoundly poor. That is the only exception to that. There is poverty in every country in the world, with the possible exception of the Scandinavian countries, and perhaps in Japan. There are poor people in Japan, but what they call poor in Japan and what we call poor over here are completely different things. But I digress. About 12 minutes after the hour, Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America, and this is conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. You know, there are trends out there, and one of them is, I mean, by now, it's pretty clear that the switch is on to conservativenationradio.org. If you have any doubts, just check out our new Saturday show with Internet radio veteran Robert Gardy. The New Wise Conservatism Show now comes to you on conservativenationradio.org every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central. After years hosting the New Wise Conservatism Show, Robert has a big following, so listen Saturday and you'll find out why. Thousands love his brand of New Wise Conservatism. I guarantee you, you will too. The New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding, Saturdays at 4 Eastern, 3 Central, on conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. 13 minutes now after the hour. Margaret Thatcher will be missed. She made her contribution. It was a great one, but she will be missed. Now, where's the next hot spot in the world? It apparently is Korea. And I don't know about you, but I think that guy over there, Kim Jong, his name is Jong-un Kim. Kim is the family name. You'll notice in the Oriental societies, the family name comes first. That's because the Orientals put more of an emphasis on a group than they do on an individual. Maoism is perfect for China. It's perfect for China because the Chinese have almost always thought in collective terms. 1,000 years before Karl Marx, they were living a quasi-communal, semi-collective kind of life over there. So they emphasize the group. We are Westerners. We believe in individuality and individualism. I certainly do. If you're an American, you ought to. If you don't, you don't belong living here. You ought to get out, get to some other country somewhere, one that where the government conducts things the way you think it ought to, like Cuba or North Korea. So the North Koreans, North Korea is a monarchy. They call themselves something like the People's Federated Democratic Socialist Republic of Korea. They are not a republic. It does not belong to the people. It is not democratic. It is a monarchy. You can say what you want, but when power is passed from the grandfather to the father to the son directly, and there is no part of government or society that is capable of interrupting that, that's a monarchy. You know, I mean, Henry VIII had one offspring who survived, who became the queen. Her name was Elizabeth I. She didn't have any children. However, there was Edward VII. There was George V. There was George VI. There was Elizabeth I. There will be Charles III, I think. Prince Charles would be Charles III or Charles I mean, that's an actual monarchy, and the Brits don't mind telling everybody that they are a monarchy. They love their king. The Koreans, of course, the North Koreans, they have a monarchy, but they keep telling everybody that they're a republic. Go figure. About 17 minutes after the hour, Duke Brooks here. We're going to take a quick break. On this day in the Civil War is coming up. So are more of your calls. Don't go away.
The Internet's official Rhino Hunting Safari.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? So everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Robin Zanner.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
All right, Cheap Trick on Radio Free America. Now we're not a music show. You'll notice I keep my music pretty short. You know, 25, 30 seconds, that's plenty. It is right now about 19 minutes after the hour. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along on this Monday, April 8th. 2013. We've been talking a little bit about what seems very clearly to be an impending conflict on the Korean Peninsula. And I, you know, I just really hope that someone pay no attention to the little dog that's barking in the background there. Where's my pistol? I'll take care of that for you. No, I'm only kidding. I wouldn't hurt an animal under any circumstances. I love them all too much. That's kind of what we've been talking about. Now, this is completely predictable. Here is what is going to happen. If the North Koreans do something, if they begin mobilizing their armed forces, we will become aware of that very, very quickly. If they fire any missiles, the South Koreans have been, the North Koreans sank a South Korean naval patrol boat. The South Koreans did nothing. The North Koreans began shelling with artillery a South Korean island on the northwest coast of South Korea. The South Koreans did nothing. Back in the 1970s, North Korean troops murdered some American servicemen in the demilitarized zone near Panmunjom, and we did nothing. It is really just ridiculous how much those little pipsqueaks have been able to bully Western industrialized democracies like South Korea and the United States. And we have put up with it for far too long. I think it is time for us to basically wipe them out, and they deserve it. And the sooner we get rid of that ridiculous Kim family, and the sooner we eliminate their military altogether, the sooner they will stop starving to death, which is what basically is happening over there, has been for 30 or 40 years. Now, what's going to happen at this point is they are going to ratchet things up a little bit, and then they're going to come and they're going to say, if you give us money and food, we won't start a war. And I hope that the Western countries this time have the backbone and the spine and the guts to say to them, number one, no more food, no more money. Number two, you may not possess nuclear weapons. And if you don't open up for inspection, we're going to take out your facilities. And there won't be anything you can do about it. If the Chinese get involved, we need to have some backbone and we need to say, look, we know that they're on your border. We know that they are your puppet and your client state and your possession, basically. But if you interfere in our action against them, you're going to regret it, because we have more nuclear weapons than you do, and this has been brewing for a long time, and we need to just get this resolved right now. And if you want to mess with us, then we'll go ahead and we'll take you on as well. Now, here's what's going to happen. If actual conflict takes place, the left in this country is going to begin spreading the same lie that they did during Vietnam, which is, here's their narrative. It will be that this is a civil war in Korea and we should not be interfering. They will never, under any circumstances, condemn China for interfering, because China will, but they will, and it is not a civil war. North Korea is one country. South Korea is another one. North Vietnam was one country. South Vietnam was another one. We, of course, pulled out of there. It wasn't our fighting men's fault. It was the fault of weak leadership, starting with LBJ and the Washington bureaucracy that didn't want President Nixon to win the war either. Speaking of civil wars, on this day in Civil War history, April 8th, 1863, 150 years ago today, of course that was the Wednesday in 1863, and this is from the Civil War Day by Day by E.B. and Barbara Long. April 8, 1863, McClernand's men continued operations below Milliken's Bend around New Carthage on the Mississippi. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I'm not sure who McClernand was. I just don't know. In addition to preparing roads and bringing in supplies, skirmishing was frequent, including a brief fight at James Plantation. Skirmishing occurred on the Millwood Road near Winchester, Virginia, and at St. Francis County, Arkansas. President Lincoln reviewed portions of Hooker's army at Falmouth across the Rappahannock from Fredericksburg. As you will recall, right around Christmas of 1862, General Ambrose Burnside was the Union commander of the Army of the Potomac at that point. General Robert E. Lee commanded the Army of Northern Virginia, and at Fredericksburg, which is on the Rappahannock River, the Confederates held off a series of Union attacks, and the Union was stopped from crossing the Rappahannock. I mean, the fact of the matter is, until U.S. Grant came along, the South had better generals. It's that simple. It is just that simple. After Burnside lost at the Battle of Fredericksburg, he was replaced with another Union general whose name was Joe Hooker. He called himself Fighting Joe Hooker. In about 3 or 4 weeks, we will be talking about the Battle of Chancellorsville, which took place in May of 1863, when Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, on the last day of his life, basically surrounded the Union and just, I mean, absolutely destroyed them, kicked them out of that region of Virginia just west of Fredericksburg, between Fredericksburg and an area called the Wilderness. In any event, 27 minutes now after the hour, 718-305-7176 is the number. Duke Brooks is my name. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. Thanks very much for being along. You know, I don't do an awful lot of spend an awful lot of time in the chat room. There's a couple of folks in there. Welcome aboard. Would love to hear from you at 718-305-7176. What worries me about the Korean situation is this. Seoul, which is the capital of South Korea, is not very far south of the 38th parallel, which is generally, I mean, the demarcation between North and South does not run exactly on the 38th parallel, but it kind of brackets the 38th parallel. Parallel of latitude, 38 degrees north. And Seoul would, North Koreans apparently possess more field pieces, more artillery, more cannons, and more howitzers than any other army in the world. And they would probably begin shelling Seoul and shelling any area that's within 15 or 20 miles of Panmunjom right away. And that, of course, would precipitate general conflict. The South Korean president, a lady, this is the first time that a woman has been the leader of South Korea, has already said that, you know, they didn't her predecessor didn't do anything about the shelling of the island in which some Korean Marines and some civilians were killed. They didn't do anything about the North Korean submarine that sank a South Korean patrol boat. She has made it clear that this time, if they do something, if they try something, this time the South Koreans are going to be ready. They're going to hit back, and they're going to hit back very hard. I suspect that the North Korean army would fold pretty quickly. I hope that the South Koreans are prepared to do things like immediately render their own food supply useless. If the North Koreans come over the border, they're going to be hungry. That's pretty much all there is to it. They're going to be hungry, and they're going to be looking for food, and I hope that the South Koreans are ready to immediately move all of their food supplies to a place like Busan and get all of their food supplies out of the path of the North Korean army. That would be about the smartest thing that they could do. The North Korean army would starve. They would be in South Korea for, 10 days, 2 weeks. They'd be out of food. I hope that the South Koreans also take whatever steps are necessary to render their water supply unfit and undrinkable. You know, give their civilian population bottles of water, poison everything else so that the North Korea, these are things you have to do. There's no way around it. Cannot let the enemy make use of any of your own materiel. You simply can't do it. Anyway, it is about 29 minutes now before the hour. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. I'm very, very glad that you are along this evening. If you're listening to me tonight, the chances are overwhelmingly high that you yourself are a conservative. And that means that you love America and you love our Constitution, just like those of us at CNR.org do here. Now, since that's the case, I know you're going to want to find a supply depot to get everything you need, from books, bumper stickers, patriotic T-shirts to flags. And we've got your pipeline to that good stuff. It's right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That's going to take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, real conservatism for real conservatives. More of your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day, and the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Confusion over someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
$80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Cuckoo Kachube. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America. You're listening to conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. About 25 minutes now before the top of the hour, we are in the home stretch of this edition of Radio Free America. Thanks very much for being along. 718-305-7176 is the number. And we've been talking a little bit, you and I, about the Korean War, what could be another war on the Korean Peninsula. Now, I am of a mind that no matter what the Chinese say, no matter what the Chinese do, if the North Koreans fire so much as a pop gun south across the 38th parallel, that they need to be wiped off the face of the earth. They are obviously a bunch of nuts. That country is run by absolute morons and idiots and the most brutal, tyrannical collection of mindless, moronic, idiot thugs that have ever walked on. These guys are even worse than the Middle Easterners are. People like Saddam Hussein and that idiot in Syria. Guy's an ophthalmologist, you know? I mean, he's, his father, Hafez Assad, was a brutal dictator. The son is as well, but apparently the son is a weakling because it is the son's wife who actually runs Syria. That's probably not the case in North Korea. I think that there are some people over there who believe that this is some kind of actually the result of some kind of an internal power struggle between certain factions of the North Korean military and the ruling dictator family, the Kim family. However, it's one of these things that there is no substitute for victory. The only way to liberate the people of North Korea so that they are not starving to death, the only way to do that, unfortunately, is to wipe out about 15 or 20% of their country. It's the only way. Unfortunately, in this case, sadly, the baby has to be kind of thrown out with the bathwater. There's just no way around it. You have all seen, and I have seen, we've all seen lately, all of this footage from Pyongyang with the North Korean army passing in review, and they're all goose-stepping and all that sort of stuff. Have you noticed something interesting about that footage? I mean, I pay particular attention to that. I try to study it. Normally, it's only on the air for 15, 20 seconds at a time, and then they have another, they'll cut to another shot of, the beloved dear leader doing this and doing that, and all this kind of nonsense. I have a lot of good friends that are Korean, and my friend Sylvia really... She is wonderful, beautiful, lovely, very smart, very good business person. She does not want to go on the radio because her English skills are really not there. But I'm gonna continue to try, and maybe I can convince her for next Monday. Next Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time, 6 p.m. Central, back to our normal schedule. The North Koreans, when you see them passing review in front of their dear leader, I have noticed that almost never are those troops that pass in review in front of their ruler are carrying rifles. Have you ever noticed that? Occasionally you'll see some units that are armed, but the rest of the time they are not carrying rifles when they march in front of the dictator. That means there are only two reasons why that could possibly be. Number one is that they simply do not have enough rifles to go around. That's number one reason, possible reason. Number two, the dictator's family does not trust their own armed forces to be armed in front of the dictator. Those are the only two explanations. I mean, if you think you've got another explanation, please give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 718-305-7176, and let's talk about it. It is about 20 minutes now before the top of the hour. Actually, it's about 19 minutes before the top of the hour. Duke Brooks here. Thank you very much for being along this evening. We have been talking about North Korea. South Korea is a wealthy country. I first met my Korean friends, it's been 8 or 9 years anyway, since I first, and back then I was a commercial real estate guy. I'm thinking about getting back into that. As a matter of fact, I did a whole bunch of research today on reactivating my Maryland commercial real estate license. I think that the Koreans are wonderful people. They are very, very hardworking people. They work constantly. It seems to me that they are concerned in their lives with really only two things. Number one with them is their children's education. Every single, I must know two dozen Korean families. And every single one of them, they are focused on their children's educations. I think that this is a very positive trait. I have noticed that almost never do they allow their children to go to public schools. They know better than to send their children to an American public school. Who in their right mind would send their kids to an American public school? Who would do that unless you... You know, unless you literally couldn't care less about your own children's future. I mean, seriously, you know, American public schools are among the worst in the entire world. The Korean families I know never, ever send their children to public schools. They send them to private schools. They begin saving for college when they're 6.5 years old. I mean, it's really... It's really unbelievable. Anyway, listen, let me, you know, we're all conservatives here, right? The chances are good that if you're listening, you're conservative too, probably. If you're not, that's okay. We conservatives, of course, we respect pioneers. We always have. And my friend Brenda Ward has been with conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. She's a pioneer. People like Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingraham, Ann Coulter, Monica Crowley, they've got nothing. I mean, nothing. They got nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. It's Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and that is the place to hear from real women who are real patriots. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, you conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B as well. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. It's just about 16 minutes now before the top of the hour. Duke Brooks here. Thank you very much for being along. We have been speaking a little bit, you and I, about the what I think is probably going to be an actual civil war, I'm sorry, not a civil war, an actual war in Korea. And who knows what those guys are up to? I think that, you know, the North Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un, he has got to realize, although, you know, on the other hand, it could very well be that if he launches an attack against South Korea or fires a missile at Japan or Guam or something, it could very well be that President Obama says, look, we are willing to pay any price for peace. And if that means that we have to basically do to South Korea what we did to South Vietnam, which is say, look, you're just going to have to live under the communists because we're just not going to fight. And that ultimately, that's what happened in Vietnam. It wasn't because of the American fighting men who were over there. It was because of the gutless cowards in Washington, D.C. And there are plenty of people in Washington who believe that they will pursue peace at any price. No matter what it is, there has to be world peace. Well, I'm more in favor of freedom and liberty and self-determination than I am in favor of peace. Peace always has a price, gang. It always has a price. And if you can't afford to pay it, then, well, you're in serious trouble. And as they say, those who beat their swords into plowshares will plow for those who don't. It is about 13 and a half minutes before the top of the hour. Going to take a quick break. More ramblings and more of your calls coming up, so don't go away.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All righty, here we are on the home stretch. About 11 minutes until the end of this installation, this edition, this episode of Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Thanks very much for being along this evening. Now then, we have been talking about things like Margaret Thatcher, those ridiculous liberals, those morons in North Korea, and the lily-livered, gutless, cowardly, hand-wringing, bedwetting liberals that infest Foggy Bottom. we've got to do something about the State Department. We have got to clean that out somehow. As long as those bureaucrats remain there and they are as untouchable as they are. Heck, I mean, you know, we had, I remember this story from last year, a guy who I believe is Alexander Graham Bell's grandson or great-grandson was a lifelong career State Department leftist who, shortly after he retired, was arrested, tried, convicted, and I think sentenced to life in prison, he and his wife, for giving U.S. secrets to Cuba. And he was ideologically motivated. He simply believed that the Cubans had a better society than we do. What a moron. Can you believe? I mean, you know, I'm glad the guy's in prison for the rest of his life. He deserves to be there, relative of the inventor of the telephone or not. Incidentally, Alexander Graham Bell never had a telephone in his house or in his office. He didn't want one. Unbelievable, huh? 718-305-7176. I think I mentioned last week, and I asked if you have a hobby. I hope that you have a hobby. Every once in a while, I'll meet somebody, nice person, and say to them, do you have any hobbies? And sometimes they'll say, well, my hobby is my job, or it's my family, or something of that nature. And, you know, there's just so much more than that. You know, there has to be. It how could a person's life be that one-dimensional? Don't get me wrong. Family is the most important thing that there is. But it is not the only thing that there is. Work, jobs, income, capital formation, acquisition of wealth, those are very, very, very important things. They come immediately behind a person's family in terms of, some people think that the two of them are inextricably linked. I understand that. But I'm not really sure how a person can go through life without having any kind of diversion at all. To do something, to spend a little bit of time just enjoying it. I mean, sports, I've always thought that sports and hobbies are different things. Sports normally require exertion. If your hobby is watching sports, then that, all right, okay, fair enough. Many people will combine those two things. Like, remember last week I had my buddy Brad Bierman on. Last Monday was opening day in baseball in this country, and sadly, my Orioles are now below 500. They lost to the Red Sox today, which is horrible. I mean, I just can't stand it when the Orioles lose. Who knows? Maybe they'll come back. You know, Showalter knows what he's doing. He did a great job with the team last year. And I'm hoping that he's going to do a good job again this year, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Why don't we speak with Barbara Mulligan-Buffing, who is going to tell us what is going on tomorrow night on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Barbara, welcome to our transplanted Empire Stater, now down in the Tar Heel State, right?
Yeah, I've been down here for 18 years, so.
Oh, just getting started, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyway, we've got...
What do you want to have on tap tomorrow night?
Special guest is Stacy Swimp, and Stacy is a blogger and founder and president of Frederick Douglass Associate, Society.org. He's got a website there going on. And he's going to give us the lowdown on our urban communities and how things are around in the area there.
Well, what, you know, interestingly, earlier tonight at our Republican Executive Committee meeting in Delaware, my friend Larry Mayo ran a meeting of the Frederick Douglass Society the other day. And Frederick Douglass, of course, was a the child of a slave and his master from Talbot County, Maryland, from the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And what exactly does the Frederick Douglass Society, what's their goal? What's their aim? Or do we have to just tune in tomorrow night and find out?
You would have to tune in and find out. But
sounds like a plan.
Actually, did you see the movie? Oh, gosh. I saw it, too. It was an excellent movie.
What was it about?
K. Carl Smith was in it.
I'm not familiar with that person. You're not talking about Glory by Edward Zwick with Matthew Broderick and Denzel Washington, are you?
No.
It was
a great
movie. Percy Rodriguez played Frederick Douglass in that movie.
No, it was... I cannot remember the name of it.
Well, what was the movie about?
Slaves. And what society is like now. The movie doesn't have anything to do with him, but...
It's not Amistad by Steven Spielberg.
No,
is it? Okay.
The slave something.
It's not that movie from 1941 called Slave Ship that W.P. Mason wrote at Capitol Pictures for Jack Lipnick. No? All right.
No, it's a new movie. K. Carl Smith just did it.
Okay, well.
It was a documentary.
I know that by the
Runaway Slave, that's it.
Oh, Runaway Slave. Oh, yes, I know the one you're talking about. Absolutely. And that's by an African-American guy who suddenly realized that the Democrat Party and the liberals in Washington are just trying to keep them all on the welfare plantation.
Correct.
All right. So your guest was in the film or worked on the film? Or
No.
She's a blogger.
He's a blogger, it's... No, the guests had nothing to do with that, but look, I'm really tired.
Well, get some rest, and I can't wait to listen tomorrow night, as I always do.
All righty.
Thank you for calling
in,
my friend.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show. All right.
Always is. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
All righty, tomorrow night at 7 Eastern, 6 Central, Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Always an interesting program. I always enjoy it. And, you know, interestingly, it seems to me that there are, I think that there are a lot of women who are a lot more conservative than a lot of men, you know, and that's fine. Anyway, thank you so much for being with me this evening. Just about 2 minutes to go. If you've got any last-second comments, 718-305-7176 is the number. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Yeah, here I am broadcasting. It's a secret, right? You know, I have had the same hobby. Oh, there's that woman. There's that British woman again telling me there's 90 seconds left in the show. All right, fine. Thank you, dearie. Always reminds me of that scene in Alien when Sigourney Weaver was, going to blow up the Nostromo. My hobby for 50 years has been building models. I love to build models, and the ones that I do now are generally better than the ones that I was doing when I was 8 or 9. But I still absolutely love that hobby, and if I can get 15, 20 minutes every other day to sit in the part of my house called MBH, that's Model Building Heaven. I'm building a model helicopter right now. I know all about helicopters, so I do a pretty accurate job. Anyway, thank you so much for being along this evening. I look forward to speaking to you again 1 week from tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. Have a great evening. Thanks for being along. Bye-bye.